This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. 4 hours of greatness headed your way. Dodgers on the cusp of being world champions. Yankees trying to keep
hope. Cheered everybody in the listening audience up.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I've never been more excited in my life.
Yankees just trying to stay alive. Mr. Russell Wilson and the Steelers get another victory on Monday night. Mm-hmm. Have Scott Miller joining us to break down that Dodger-Yankee series and the possible ending of it here tonight. We'll have a daily gambit of Chris's fantabulous sports game show. Big Chris versus the Fan and the Big Five, all the usuals. Chris, how's your day, my man?
Pretty good. I was just telling Scraby that was out golfing today. One really good thing happened, and one thing that shouldn't bother me this much also happened.
Wait, let's just start by saying last week Chris brought us the complaint of the golf cart. Thing.
Yeah, there was solo nobody, the electric golf cart guy who was slowing down my day. Today, for the first time ever, Scraby won't even allow me to call this a chip-in. I holed out from about 115 yards.
Correct, correct use. Yeah. Hold out. A chip-in is downplaying around what
the,
you did.
Around the green, yeah.
And it's
this
downplaying.
It's about 115 yards. I used a 9-iron. It was an elevated green. The ball bounced up there and then out of my view. And I thought, that was a pretty good shot. But the way the day had been going, this was about the 12th or 13th hole. The way the day had been going, I figured it rolled, you know, past the green into a sand trap.
So
it was just that kind of day.
It hadn't been going good, is what you're
saying. It hadn't been going well at all. And we went up to the green, all of us, and there was no ball there to be found. And I was really upset because I'm like, God, I thought that was a great shot. And I don't see it anywhere. And my playing partner, Mike, looked in the hole. And he laughed, and he said, it's in there. And I go, no, it isn't. Get out of here. I go, that's mean, right? You know, to tell somebody that it was in.
Oh, I do that every time.
And then I looked.
That's surprising at all.
It was there. So that was the good thing that happened today. That made my day, made up for a lot of bad shots today. The bad thing is, somewhere along the way, along with losing about 7 golf balls, it was that kind of a day, I lost my favorite Miami Dolphins ball marker.
Oh.
It's like $3.99. I'm sure I can get another one.
Did you forget it?
That's what I'd like to know. I mean, when you right, you put it down, and then when your turn, you put your ball down, you put it right in your pocket.
Right.
I can tell you how you lost it.
How did I lose it?
You either tried to put it, because I've lost many 49er ball markers. You
really?
Either try to put it in your pocket and you miss, or you're taking something out of your pocket and it drops down to the ground and you just don't notice it.
Yeah, very frustrated by that. But
what hole did you realize it was gone?
I don't know. A couple of holes later, I don't know. You know, I used it the first 3 or 4 holes, and then about the 5th or 6th hole, I didn't have it anymore. So anyway, that was my bummer of the day. But no, it was holing out from the fairway, that was pretty exciting, I must admit.
It's pretty sweet.
So I'm kind of happy about that. I don't think anybody's happy about what's happening in the World Series, but You know, sure, I look
there's
at
some
it,
people happy.
Right, right. A couple of people. Not too many south of Oceanside.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But, you know, I mean, it comes down to me a couple of things, Tony. Freddie Freeman is hitting like Aaron Judge, and Aaron Judge is hitting like Rafael Belliard. You know? I mean, that's that's what I'm seeing here. I mean,
Rafael Belliard.
Do you remember Rafael Belliard? He was a punch and Judy hitter for the Braves.
Yes.
Actually made it to the World Series a couple of times back in the day when shortstops could, you know, they could afford a shortstop who couldn't hit. But, I mean, Freddie Freeman, my goodness, five games in a row going back to 2021. And I thought that was a terrible pitch. John Smoltz, listen to John Smoltz. He said, throw it down and in curveball. He'll swing over the top of it. And he threw a fastball right down the middle.
Yeah.
And he didn't swing over the top of that. He just knocked it out. That was ball game, it turned out.
Freddie Freeman is one of the best hitters in baseball.
He is.
You mean, I know he had a weird year. He was dealing with injury. His son, you know, was dealing with what he was dealing with. Had the ankle injury at the end of the year. And by the way, at that point, he was still like top 10 hitters in the league. He's just starting to get healthy again, it seems like.
And yeah.
His swing is getting healthy along with it. And so, I mean, that's the part of the lineup that you always were terrified of. It just so happens it's not Ohtani right now.
Yeah.
It's Freddie Freeman. When it wasn't Freddie Freeman, it was Mookie Betts. So, I mean, and they're getting just enough at the bottom to do their thing.
Make it interesting. Yeah,
Kike, I think, had a couple yesterday.
He did. Edmund was doing his thing. He was on base with a hit-by-pitch, a walk. You know, look, the Yankees gave up four runs. Two of them were walks, and one was a hit-by-pitch. The only run that scored that wasn't handed to the Dodgers, basically, was the Freeman home run.
Right.
You can't afford to make mistakes like that. And on the other side, this has not been a Dodger strength that I recall over the last several years, but they played an incredible game on defense last night. I mean, Betts made a diving catch. Edmund made at least two great plays, one by stopping that throw from going into center field and still tagging second base. And then he made another good play, I thought, to end the ball game and not let Soto up to bat. And then obviously Teoscar Hernandez, who's not known for doing anything in left field, makes a perfect throw. I thought Will Smith's tag was, you know, professional at best. And so, I mean, they were able to silence anything the Yankees got going.
I think it's important to remember, I mean, once the Dodgers made the move to make Betts back to right field, they now have, you know, Gold Glover in right, Gold Glover in center, Gold Glover behind the plate. And Rojas has won a Gold Glove. And so, I mean, they have always had good defenders. They might have been out of position at times. And I think, you know, you make a trade like get Tommy Edman at the time, it's not that big a deal because he hadn't played a game. But
and they really wanted him, and they knew what they were doing, as it turned out.
100%. And on top of that, and I think we talked about this shortly after the Padres got eliminated, if Walker Buehler got back to doing Walker Buehler type stuff,
this
is a different ball club you're talking about now.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Dodgers also, you know, everybody, and I understand it because we're the team that seems to be, you know, to benefit the least from all the money the Dodgers spend. It makes life much more difficult on the Padres. But at the same time, you know, every other franchise is allowed at the trade deadline to go out and try to trade for players. You know, they don't all do it, and some who do it don't get the right guys. As it turned out, the Dodgers got Jack Flaherty, they got Michael Kopech, they got Tommy Edman, and, you know, every one of these guys has, you know, been money for them in the playoffs, all three of them. And so, you know, give them, I hate to give them any credit where it's due, but that's all I can think of at this point.
I mean, in just to kind of contrast the two different moves, because the Padres made terrific moves.
Yeah, the Padres did too, yeah.
But it goes to kind of show you how much of a different type of impact a position player can make. Now, the Padres didn't have any moves to make in terms of position players at the time, right? So,
right.
You know, that's kind of the context that it starts with. But ultimately, when you get to the postseason and you got guys who you've traded for that are playing on an everyday basis, they have a chance to just impact the game a little bit more. And that's kind of where the Dodgers have been with Edmund. I mean, Kopech's in the same boat, but he kind of transformed their back into their bullpen at the time because they didn't have a closer. They were closing by committee.
Michael Kopech had an ERA of nearly six with the White Sox. Now, maybe part of that's just the White Sox, but to go from that to almost unhittable, you know, either some luck or some good scouting.
Right.
Probably a combination of both. But you remember, they didn't have Evan Phillips for this World Series. They've hardly missed him.
I was about to say, you wouldn't
They've
even
hardly
know that
missed
he was
him.
There. Right.
You know, so look, it's 3-0. I think everybody thinks it's over. Most times it is when it's 3-0. But, you know, I mean, Judge, you know, we talked about it yesterday. Tony, it looks like his bat is just too short to get to those balls.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one time he finally hit one, it was right back to the box, and that should have been a double play. And he hits a nice fly ball to left field, but it's enough off the end of the bat that it doesn't go anywhere. The biggest deal for the Yankees that I see. I mean, right now you almost can pitch around Soto because Judge is, you know, almost an automatic out.
I don't know that there's enough time left, but maybe, maybe him catching that ball off the end finally is a good thing in terms of how he hit it. Because before, I mean, that breaking ball, usually throughout the series, he's swinging through. He's not hitting it. But I don't know. It's this was just a bad time to go cold.
And I feel bad for him because there's going to be critics, and you know people in New York are going to roast
this guy. Yep.
They're going to roast the guy that's, you know, one of the greatest players they've had in Yankee history.
Yeah, this
he's going to take it. He's going to take it.
This is where you find out if you're actually built for this. And quite frankly, he's already been through it, to be honest. I mean, he may not have been through it on a World Series level, but remember, they hadn't gotten to this point, so they were wearing him out about not getting to this point.
Yeah.
So I think he's plenty built for it. He'll bounce back. This won't be one of those deals where my man disappears because he had a bad series and everybody piled on him.
Yeah.
I fully expect Aaron Judge to eventually get back to Aaron Judge. He just may not have enough time to do it in this series.
Yeah, his career postseason batting average is .196, so it hasn't just been this year, although it's been much worse this year, unfortunately, for Aaron Judge. You know, six hits, 43 at-bats, and then almost incomprehensible 20 strikeouts out of 43 at-bats.
And by the way, this just goes to show you how much of a magnifying glass is on this type of series, because I know for a fact he's had two worse stretches during the course of the season and about the same amount of at-bats.
Yeah, only remember April this year, he couldn't hit his weight.
He couldn't hit anything.
No,
you're right. But it just goes to show you these games are on a different stage at a different time, and the scrutiny is just going to be a lot different.
Yeah.
Real quick, would you guys have waved the cement truck around third? I mean, Giancarlo Stanton. Do you guys?
With two outs, you have to, especially with Teoscar Hernandez,
but he's
who's not very good.
But he's not, and I'm not making fun of him.
Would you say the cement truck?
Yes.
Or the cement mixer?
Both.
I know what you're saying, Chris, because you guys have taught me when you're not getting on base and you're not getting guys close enough to score, you have to go for it. But in that case, wouldn't it have been better to hold him?
I don't know. I mean, you had
The point is, you have a shot there. You may not get the shot if you hold
If you don't wave him in, then you need a two out hit.
Right.
And the Yankees haven't been getting any.
Don't you think they would have a better chance of getting that two out hit than him making it home?
Well, a two out hit, I mean,
somebody could drop a baseball. All kinds of different things can happen.
He looked like the monster from Happy Gilmore running.
They're sending him home hoping that someone drops the ball or it's a misfire.
It was just perfect.
There's no part of, usually you're waving a guy home, you're like, you can beat this.
He's like,
they're
really?
Waving him home hoping that something bad happens.
He sees the sign, he's like, okay, let's go.
He was huffing and puffing, there's no question. But if you I mean, not analytically, but just in simple math, you got about a 35-40% chance of getting him in from third with two outs, a hit, an error, a wild pitch, something like that. I think your percentages was higher to send him that you'd get the run. Teoscar Hernandez had to make a perfect one bounce throw, and he did.
Yeah.
That decided the issue.
If it's up the line either way.
Yeah, he would have made it.
He would have made it.
Do you know who's made themselves a lot of money in this postseason? Teoscar Hernandez.
Teoscar Hernandez made himself a whole bunch of money before this postseason.
Yeah, they're all making a lot of money.
He might be a casualty, though, if the Soto thing is real. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't sign both, but... Teoscar's the cheaper option, and quite frankly, look at the way he fit on that team. I mean, I don't think anybody saw that type of year coming from him.
And I would take Teoscar myself.
We know.
You know.
We know. All right, let's get to break.
We know.
Plenty more to get to. Jackson Merrill talked about him camp, you know, looking forward to a chance to play in a World Series. We also had our guy, at least, Luis Arraez. He had the mic. As well, we'll get into a little bit of that. Some of the Padre prospects who are poised for a big 2025, according to AJ Cassavell, all when we return. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome in. 2:21 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby as well. Here is the schedule for the day. We'll be on till 6 o'clock, all of us, four full hours with you. Scott Miller joins us to talk about the World Series in about 20 minutes, 3 o'clock hour, Daily Gambit, another round of the Fantabulous Sports Game Show, 4 o'clock hour, Chris versus the Fans, the Big Five, 5 o'clock hour, go all kinds of crazy directions, I imagine. And then at 6 o'clock, the Scraby Chronicles return to the air tonight for an hour of that revelry with your host, Matt Scraby. Before we get to the fact that Luis Arraez says he wants to get 300 hits next year.
300.
Which is going to, if he does it, break the existing record held by Ichiro by like 30 or 40.
I know, right?
It's not just going to break it by one or
he
two.
He's going to smash it.
He's going to destroy the record if he is able to actually get 300 hits.
That would be... like the maximum amount of fun you can have playing baseball, getting 300 hits in a season.
300. The reason that he seems like, I mean, it's unlikely, of course.
Yeah, of course it is.
But the reason he would have a chance ahead of a lot of other people is because he never walks.
Yeah,
so he gets the full four or five swings every game. And if he bats leadoff, he could get, you know, almost 700-800 at bats. He'd still have to hit like 375 or 380 to get 300, but
I mean, yeah,
you never know.
I mean, he's probably pushing a 400 if he gets 300 hits.
300 hits, yeah, because yeah, it would be crazy. But we'll get into that.
I'm here for it, though. If you want to do it, Luis,
yeah, let's try it. Yeah, everybody wants to know how unlikely is it that the Yankees can rally and win the next four games? Here it is. NBA teams, in history, down 0-3, 157 times they've won zero.
This is in the final.
You know, in any portion of the playoffs, no NBA teams ever come from 0-3. NHL teams, 211 of them have trailed, four have won. The last was the Kings beating San Jose in the Western Conference playoffs 2014.
Take that, Sharkies.
Take that, Sharkies.
They're not my Sharkies.
Baseball, 40 teams have been behind. One has done it. That was the Red Sox, as you know, over the Yankees. So,
that was epic, by the way.
If you add it all up, 408 teams have been down 0-3. Five have won.
So it's very unlikely.
Yes. That factors out to 0.012%.
Hey, you can't bring that stat to this if you complain about all the other winning percentage stats in the world.
That's a legit one as it pertains to this particular setting.
Wait, what are you saying? I can't bring that to the table.
Because you're always complaining about win probabilities and
this
things
of that
nature.
This isn't win probability.
How did you come to that number, sir?
That's not a win probability.
That's the percentage of chance
you
have.
That is the percentage that it has happened in the past.
Oh, I see. I thought you were predicting.
No, there's been four. Jumping out the window.
As usual, there's been 408 and five successes.
I feel like it can happen.
Of course it can.
I'm going to speak it into existence.
Right. Anything can happen.
Because the Dodgers are going into this game tonight a little overconfident.
I can't wait to hear this. I want to hear this mental gymnastics he's about to give us. Explain, please.
What led you to that?
Just by how happy they are and happy-go-lucky.
I thought they were quite subdued, actually, after the game last night.
I just saw like something up there that they were celebrating like it was crazy, like they had just won the World Series. That's why I brought it up.
Liar.
I can't have them win 4-0.
I happened to see, I think it was Woodsy talking about it this morning.
What part?
About how when your team wins a championship, your fan base is allowed to be unruly. They're just allowed.
Seems fair to me.
They're allowed.
Which is exactly why you should stop being unruly because your team has
not won the championship. Great point, Chris.
Yet you're unruly anyway.
Unruly.
Unruly in what way?
You think your team has won a championship before.
Yeah, that's
not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that I don't want to see the Dodgers win 4-0.
No, I understand that. You'll be okay
if they win 4-1.
No.
Difference doesn't really make.
No. But I really would enjoy so much the Yankees winning four in a row and just
it'd be fun to send the thing back to L.A. and put a little scare into the Dodgers. The problem with that, Scraby, is in 24 World Series, again, we're using history
as a
reference.
Okay. I get it now.
There's been 24 World Series where a team has been ahead 3-0. 21 times out of 24, the team has just swept, won the fourth game. The other three were decided in the fifth game.
But they didn't get past the fifth.
They've never been past a fifth game in a World Series down 3-0. So maybe the Yankees can at least do that.
It's not likely, guys.
It doesn't seem very likely.
It's not likely.
Dodgers, by the way, did finally name their starting pitcher. It hardly matters. They're going with a bullpen game. But Ben Kasparius, the right-hander young guy, will start for the Dodgers tonight. Luis Gill.
I think he opened one other game, too.
Kasparius, yes. He may have against the Mets. I don't remember, but
sounds like a Roman Empire.
He's first Kasparius. Up for the Dodgers tonight. If you're wondering,
I got to get your guys' opinion at some point about Gerrit Cole. They were broaching the idea of bringing back Gerrit Cole on short rest, and Gerrit Cole was not a fan of that, so he's not pitching for the Yankees tonight, and he will pitch in Game 5.
Do you remember what happened when the Padres went with Dylan Cease on short rest?
No, I totally
get that. Nobody was happy about it, and it didn't work.
No, that's not what I was saying. I was curious to hear if you guys think that's like a what's the guy's name for the Colts? Anthony Richardson, like kind of tapping his head, like, "Hey, I need a rest."
Chicken bleep move.
Yes, that's what I don't personally believe it is.
No, I don't think it is.
But it is the elimination game of the World Series.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee he's going to be good. There might be a dude who's pitching for them today. Gil,
yeah,
Gil, who's on regular rest, might be better.
It might be Heal. I've heard both
because it is Gilberto.
Gilberto Gil?
I think it's Luis Gil, but I could be wrong. We'll see tonight. Joe Davis will pronounce it right. I can wait for that. Either that or somebody called Jesse Agler. He'll know. Speaking of Jesse, I thought of him last night because on the bunt by Edmund, where Gavin Lux slid in hand first, I don't think there's any argument that he was safe. But they didn't overturn it because of the old, there wasn't quite enough 100% evidence. And I can hear Jesse in the back of my mind going,
what a stupid
That's
rule.
So stupid. You're either safe or you're out. And I really thought he was safe. I thought the Yankees got a big break there because they might have been able to bust the game wide open had they overturned that. But again, that frustrates me because I don't care who wins the game. I just care that the plays are called right. Yeah. Didn't you think he was safe?
I didn't see the play.
Okay. His hand slid in there like, Scraby, did you recall it?
Didn't get home until late last night, and that's honestly, great. I couldn't handle. I watched the highlights and stuff.
Excuse there, we were good. We
understood. It was a safety squeeze. It was a safety squeeze. Anyway, I'm pretty sure Lux was safe, but they didn't overturn it. So Jesse, bemoaning that fact, and I'm right there with you, Jesse, because I thought that safe is safe, as the old saying goes.
Safe is safe.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Scott Miller, New York Times. Is he really with the New York Times anymore?
That's the last I checked.
I don't know. We'll have to double check with him. The New York Times wiped out their whole sports department.
They did?
Yeah. The New York Times is using, they use stories from The Athletic now on sports.
Yeah, well, I know that. Scott, they bought The Athletic.
Yeah, but I think they bought The Athletic.
All right. And they're using their stories, I believe.
Because they own
page.
Their stories.
Anyway, but Scott is still a baseball savant.
We're on top of it today, everybody.
Not really. He's also got a baseball book coming out. Look forward to discussing that and the 3-0 Dodger lead when we return.
You know, often during the break, there's some banter that goes on. And recently, since we've added YouTube, we occasionally get some banter from the peanut gallery.
The chat room.
The chat.
They're more than a peanut gallery to me.
I got to tell you something. These people in the chat, they have the minds of a steel trap.
That's every listener
they
of the
do
show.
Not forget anything that is ever said.
They don't forget nothing.
No.
Scraby has a good point on one of these.
Okay? Yes, Dan, who is in the chat every single day.
Shout out to Dan.
Every day.
Thank you, Dan.
Chris wants games to be called right. He said last week games can't be called perfect with computers, a.k.a. new strike zone for minor league baseball. WTF. Thinking emoji face.
Got him.
All right, no thanks, Dan.
You did say that you would like for imperfections to happen throughout the game. Mm.
Overcome it, and so the Dodgers did.
They did.
Balls and strikes is where I'm drawing the line. As far as a play that you can clearly see on video review that it's right or wrong, you may as well get it right. Balls and strikes, I don't think, are that cut and dried all the time. That is a difference that I see, Dan, but thank you for remembering what I said.
Both sides fair.
Thank you for remembering what I said. You guys looked at the play during the break.
Yeah.
And you guys are you're hesitating a little to call him safe,
yeah,
even though I say 100%.
His hand is too far up.
You should be able to assume. This is where the stupid rule
where else
comes
could
back.
His hand be, Scraby? Right. The guy's leg is practically on the plate. He slides it under the guy's leg.
I don't see
right
that
on top
part
of the plate.
And Tony and I
and
watched it.
That's
a couple
the hesitation,
times.
Right? Is because you can't actually see the hand touch the plate. You have to assume he's touching the plate because there's nowhere else it could really go. But if they're calling it by the letter of the law, or in this case, the ruling on the field was that he was out.
Yeah, well, the ruling on the field was incorrect.
I don't disagree with that.
That's okay.
The catching thing has been weird last year, the year before that, with the catcher's interference. They don't know what a run is these days, guys.
We digress.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for leaving me out there on a
I'm busy ledge. Doing something else. I'm not really paying attention to you over here.
Scott Miller is going to join us here shortly.
look at you.
Chris gets one guy on the chat who like
Look, I mean, you're golfing tomorrow anyway, so I've kind of stopped dealing with you for a while. You're leaving the show. Unlike some of us who can golf and do the show in the same day.
Well, remember, some I'm going to be very injured.
Well, you know. Well,
that's true. That's right. Remember, he's not coming in Thursday or Friday because we won't be able to walk.
Shoulder is going to be torn up.
Yeah.
We await to talk to Scott Miller a little bit about this Dodgers series, Dodger-Yankees series. It's been all Dodgers, though, to this point. Yankees really haven't. They've never at any point felt like this. They were about to like come back and do something. It has been pretty
a little
much,
bit in the ninth inning of both the last two games,
last two
but it was
games.
Too late.
But
really, if you change two things, if Freddie Freeman was swinging the way Judge is, and if Judge was swinging the way Freddie Freeman is, the whole thing would be different. Yeah,
that's fair.
I mean, really, one big guy is coming through, and one big guy is just not. The rest of it. You know,
and the Dodgers pitching has been.
Yeah, Buehler, look, Buehler pitches, what, 5 innings, 2 hits. Yamamoto, 6+1 hit. That was supposed to be the weak spot.
Right, right.
The Yankees have not put any runs up early in the game against these starters and get to the bullpen, and, you know, there's not much left. So, yeah, it's true. I mean, it's a 3-0. That's what it is. But every time a series is 3-0, everybody thinks it's over.
You just told us why everybody thinks
it's
over.
Yeah, because it's 5 for 408.
That's just it's not likely. It would take probably a hot streak that we hadn't seen at any point ever in order to pull off the World Series comeback. All right, let's talk to our friend Scott Miller, contributor to the New York Times. Scott, how are you? How are you feeling?
Hey, good, man. Good. Tony, Chris, nice to be with you guys. And, yeah, it's weird. You know, I covered 28 World Series in a row until last year, so it's still kind of weird not to be there. I was up at Games 1 and 2 in Dodger Stadium, saw the great Freddie Freeman walk-off home run, sensational game. And since then, I always pull for a great, memorable World Series, and it's kind of gone downhill. It's 3-0, you know. There hadn't been much drama.
Scott, this is not how I think people envisioned this series when it first started. The Dodgers have completely dominated outside of maybe the last two innings of the last two games. But I take you back to the regular season. There were plenty of times during the course of the 162 that there were a ton of concerns about the New York Yankees in all different areas, whether it was Judge struggling at times, whether it was the pitching, whether it was injuries. Although they're healthy now, those struggles really, I would say, never really got fixed. They covered them up because of how great some of their players are. But to me, this seems to be some of the same things that plagued this team during the course of the regular season.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think during the course of the regular season, especially when Gerrit Cole was out hurt, there were questions about the rotation. Is it good enough? Is it deep enough? And Gerrit Cole came back, and that helped. But those questions have come back during the postseason. Earlier in the year, Clay Holmes was their closer, and then he went south, and Aaron Boone had to jockey some guys around in the bullpen. Yep. And he's lately this postseason kind of caught lightning in a bottle with Luke Weaver. But the point is, there were questions about the bullpen during the season when Clay Holmes had to be replaced as closer. And now into the October, same thing. There are questions. Luke Weaver's been good, but there are questions. You know, the bullpen hasn't always stepped up. So the pitching on both ends, starting and relieving, is it carried into the postseason, the questions surrounding that. And also, the defense, they're not a very good fundamental team. To your point, they've covered up a lot of things with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Juan Soto banging the 3-run homers. But, you know, their defense has been shaky much of the year, and we've seen that. You know, you go back to game one before the Freddie Freeman walk-off. You know, that was just ridiculous, that ball getting thrown into the infield from Juan Soto on Shohei Ohtani's double in the eighth inning in game one. That's the one that bounced short hop Gleyber Torres. He botched it. Ohtani heads up, takes third. And, like, the ball, part of the reason he took it, there's nobody backing up. None of the Yankees hustled to the ball. They all just kind of stood there and looked at it. And he ended up scoring the tying run. I mean, but for that play, they might have won game one. And, you know, then was it last night or two nights ago? I think it was last night when Giancarlo Stanton gets thrown out at the plate. You know, it was a ball to shallow left field, but there were two outs, and he did not get a good break from second base. You know, had he gotten a better break, and I say that because two outs, as soon as the ball hit, the guy should be running, and he ended up getting thrown out at the plate. So there have been some fundamental things as well from the season that have carried into October.
And the Dodgers, fundamentally, Scott Miller, have been really good. And I always remember being able to make a little fun of the Dodgers, fundamentally, defensively. I mean, they played everybody out of position for all that time. But now they've got, you know, the right players in the right spots. And, you know, they're saving a lot of runs in these World Series games. And I think, you know, in a tight contest like this has been, that's been the difference, really.
Yeah, they have not made many mistakes. I mean, I just listed a couple mistakes the Yankees made, and that's just two, and there have been others. Whereas the Dodgers, you really have to hunt to look for, you know, you can't find any, like, key error that turned the game, you know, the Yankees' direction, or, you know, some, you know, base-running blunder. I mean, you know, really the only mistake the Dodgers made, it's hard to bang them for it, is, you know, when Ohtani ran the other day and hurt his shoulder, I mean, they're up 4-1. And, you know, you could, I mean, I know Dave Roberts immediately stuck up for Ohtani, and as he, a manager should, he said, look, you know, hey, it's 4-1. We need to tack on runs. And I totally get that. And Ohtani hadn't been thrown out stealing a base in like 2 months at that point. So, you know, that all is fine. But boy, when he slid and hurt his shoulder, you're like, oh man, it's the late innings of a 4-1 game. You know, did he really even need to be running there? And, you know, you could debate that, but you're right. The Dodgers have done, they've done just about everything right. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing that keeps – it struck me when I was up at Dodger Stadium. I was up there for the games 1 and 2 of the Mets NLCS series, and I was up there for games 1 and 2 of the World Series before, you know, obviously, you know, I didn't go back to New York. But watching this whole thing play out, one thing that strikes me, especially those of us that live in San Diego, is, you know, if I'm employed by the Padres as a player or – in the front office, or if I'm a big Padre fan, I am just shaking my head, because the Dodgers and the Padres division series, for my money, was the NLCS. The Padres are the next best team after the Dodgers. When they blew that 2-1 lead and let the Dodgers come back, had they knocked out the Dodgers, I don't have any doubt. I think the Yankees would be here tonight in Petco Park, the World Series would be here, and we'd all be talking at the ballpark.
Yeah, no, I think that's the thing that's probably been most apparent, is that the Padres are the second-best team
that's
in
the
baseball.
Painful.
Right.
Painful.
Yeah,
all of this.
Scott Miller joins us. And, Scott, let's talk about these two managers, because I think coming into the season, they both had similar narratives, right? They both were the guys running two high-priced rosters that had had early exits or had fallen below expectation over the last few years. Boy, what a year can do to kind of change the look. I frankly remember going into the Padres' last series of the season against the Dodgers. I think it was 6 games remaining. And Dave Roberts being booed in Los Angeles when they announced his name. Now he's a game away from winning a World Series. On the flip side, Aaron Boone, I would assume, has had to kind of raise his stock a little bit, at least in the city, with the performance of getting to a World Series this year.
Yeah, I agree on both counts. Where Boone's concerned, you know, if they get swept tonight, the New York Yankees fans, I think, are the king of the like ridiculous high expectations. I mean, you know, the Yankees think it's their God given, their fans think it's their God given right to win the World Series.
No doubt.
But, you know, I think the fact that Aaron Boone managed them into the World Series, you know, first time the Yankees have been in a World Series since 2009, which is really hard to believe. He gets a lot of collateral for that. There's no doubt about it. Now, it'll turn, if they get swept tonight, there'll be a lot of teed off Yankees fans, of course, you know, saying, oh, my God, that was embarrassing that we got swept. But I think by and large, especially in today's game with the expanded playoffs, you know, if you get to the World Series, it's pretty hard to argue with the job the manager's done. And I know, you know, Brian Cashman, their president of baseball operations, and the owner, Hal Steinbrenner, both are big, big Aaron Boone fans. Mm. So I think, yeah, he'll be fine. And I think he's, you know, the fact that he's got him where he has him, even if they don't win, that'll go a long way, I think, you know, toward keeping Aaron Boone in New York at least the next couple of years. And, kind of similar with Dave Roberts. I think, you know, I do think he was under a lot of pressure this year. And largely because of the last 2 years, you know, they got bounced in the division series round. You know, last year the Diamondbacks beat them up, and 2 years ago the Padres took them out. And I think the biggest issue for Dave Roberts was going to be if they got knocked out early in the playoffs by the Padres, or, you know, if the Mets had trampled them or something.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.